All right, you're listening to the Saturday Afternoon Show. I'm Tom Rowe, and Tennessee Watson is here to talk more and play more of the interviews she's been doing with residents of Greene and Columbia County about wages and working. Tennessee, welcome.
Thank you. I'm flying solo today. My partner in crime, Laura Haddon, is in the Big Apple. Just fade that down.
Yes, and I think we have some birds behind us, too. Or you have the birds up?
I don't have the birds up.
Oh, it's just the microphones in the studio are picking up a little. The windows are open. It's nice today. It's 75 degrees at the Wave Farm here in Accra. And what sort of people have you been talking to?
We've talked to, well, this week we're going to feature somebody who is making their own longboards, skateboards, and a couple that owns a restaurant. But we've also talked to a beekeeper, a forester, who you all heard a bit from last week, a woman who's a cheesemaker, a Lyft operator. Yeah, it's just kind of all over the place, and word of mouth. We've talked to an artist. We're looking forward to talking to a lawyer. So still kind of, we need more stories. If you're out there and you're interested, you can email us at wageworking@gmail.com. That's the best way to get in touch. But
is there a website people should look at to find out about the project too?
Yeah, we have a Tumblr that's going, wageworking.com, and we've been, since our project was inspired by Studs Terkel, we've been putting up quotes from Studs from his book, Working, which featured a collection of about 100 interviews that he did with workers in the 1970s. And but we've also been posting photographs of the people that we interview and excerpts of those interviews. And the big exciting thing that's up there right now is there's a picture of our jukebox, which we named Hazel. And the jukebox, in addition to playing these stories on 90.7, will also be featured in this jukebox. So it's sort of like treating a jukebox as a archive or a library for all the stories. And it's really exciting. Each person we interviewed will have a CD in the jukebox, similar to how you'd access like a musical group or an artist, and then there'll be multiple tracks. And as we've mentioned a couple of times, the tracks correspond with the length of time that it takes somebody to make a dollar. And one of the things that's been tricky for us is we've been interviewing a lot of people who are in business for themselves. And so doing the books and figuring out exactly how long it takes them to make a dollar is this tricky equation. And we haven't had that many interviews with people who have a very discernible hourly wage. And we haven't talked to that many people who have a sort of quote unquote boss or work in a hierarchy. Like most of the people that we've been talking to are independent contractors, freelancers, starting their own businesses, running their own farms. So
I think I've read a lot that working hours have expanded, and that there's this sense that people are just always looking at their phones and checking their email and doing some sort of work, even when they're in a hammock on the flipping a burger or something. Is that what you're describing, sort of?
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. When people are in business for themselves, they might leave and go home, but they still, you know, can do more research, or they think about problems that they have at work and they brainstorm how to try and solve that. And so really tallying up when they're working, when they're not working is difficult. But we are interested in talking to people who do have that more discernible hourly wage and understanding their work rituals and their relationship to their work as well. So, but it's just, you know, I don't know if it's a part of the economy here. I did look at some of the stats for the larger employers, which are correctional facilities and Hunter Mountain, and specifically in Greene County. And then after that, you know, the range is like
tourism, prisons, and I guess there's a lot of government jobs too, I assume.
Yeah, the county employs a lot of people as well. But that's still, you know, the total number of employees is in the, you know,
hundreds.
Like hundreds. Yeah. And then you bump down, it's like 150 to 3, and, you know, there's only a couple businesses, and then you go from 100 to, you know, 50 to 150. I apologize for not knowing the specific breakdowns, but I did find all this information on the Greene County website. So just so if folks are interested, that all that information is accessible through the Greene County's
They have like site. Demographic information. What percentage of the county is Hispanic or white, or and what percentage of the county is...
And it just shows who the major employers are. Maybe I'll play something, and then I can, while the audio is playing, I can call up some of those more specific numbers. But it does seem like there are a lot of people who are making ends meet by being in business for themselves. And there's a lot of ingenuity and creativity.
Well, that's another post-recession story, is that I think that has happened. A lot of people have kind of moved off the grid job-wise, forced into doing their own thing because newspapers have laid them off or whatever industry no longer employs them.
Yeah, and I think that there is an interesting tension there that we have heard. You know, people generally that talk to us love aspects of what they do, and they're glad that they're in business for themselves. But then there also is that fatigue of always working. I don't know, that's kind of a good, unless you have more questions.
Well, I had one more question was, before you get to the stories, was about the, you did a workshop last Sunday at the Cairo Public Library, and I wondered how that went.
Oh yeah, that was great. There was six people there. And basically what we did, there was a whole range of experience, and a range of interests. Some people really wanted to learn that the technology needed to do field recording, which when I say that, it's like, you take out a field recorder that is something you can hold in your hand, and you
go cell phone, for instance.
Yes, you can use your cell phones will record, but we actually have these small digital audio recorders, and you can go out. And
WGXC has one at the Cairo Public Library that if you have a library card, you can check out and borrow once you get trained on it.
Yeah, exactly, and we use that in the workshop. So you take the field recorders out, do recordings, and interviews. And so basically we talked about doing field recordings, getting good levels, all that kind of stuff. They did a sound scavenger hunt where they had to go and find the sound of relaxation, nostalgia, labor, consumption, and electric blue. And whenever I do workshops, I always like to throw a thing in there like hot pink or electric blue where people are like, how do I translate that into sound? And people bring back really amazing stuff. So they did the sound scavenger hunt in the town of Cairo, and then came back, and then we talked about interviewing. And then Laura and I just sent these folks out to go and do interviews on the spot. And so that we collected stories about how people got their jobs. And it was interesting. There were people who were like, I applied. And then there's other people that really just went into story mode. And we quickly edited that together and turned it around, and it played Monday afternoon on the station. So I thought that, you know, if you listen to the piece, the levels are kind of all over the place, and the editing has a kind of rough edge to it. But I think it's a really incredible thing that there's a resource in WGXC where people can go out and ask their neighbors and community members what's going on in their lives, and then turn it around and put it on the air. And I feel like that's a really important thing. And I was so glad to be able to facilitate that for this group of people that were doing it for the first time. So it was cool.
All right. And that's what you've been doing too. So I think you're going to play some of those interviews now.
Yeah. When we were talking about people's, the kind of line between their work and their life, especially when they're in business for themselves, made me think of this collection of recordings that I want to play from Pat and Karen, who are the owner of Nana Gail's restaurant, which is in Hensonville. It's a little town, quite charming, and it's up between Windham and Tannersville.
Yeah, is it at that one-stop sign in Hensonville?
There's one-stop sign, and there's a restaurant there. And these folks worked in big corporate kitchens in Las Vegas, and you'll hear them talk about that. And they came back because they wanted to kind of have a different pace of life. But I was really impressed with the fact that they live right above their restaurant, and when they close the doors to the restaurant, they go home and it's family time. And they've kind of nailed that balance of being like, you know what? Maybe I have to stay over and make chicken soup, but that's only one day a week. And the rest of the time, I close the door and I hang with my grandkids. So In terms of other people out there who are struggling with that, being in constant work mode and feeling the demands of working all the time, maybe Pat and Karen have kind of a lesson to offer. So let me just make sure my volume is all set. So this is the first cut. And just to explain it, it's 6 minutes long. And they figured that combined, they make $10 an hour. So if we were to do just a piece for Pat and just a piece for Karen, then we would have to figure out the math for them making $5 an hour. But since they're such a unit and they talk about how linked their work is, we decided that we would treat them like they're earning this dollar together. So the first cut I'm going to play for you is the length of time it takes them to make a dollar.
A.M. and we're in the kitchen of Nana Gail's Cafe, and we're just getting ready for the morning business. And it'll take us about another half an hour to get all ready. Then that'll be it. By 6 o'clock, we'll start getting our regular customers.
Turn the sign around so people know we're open. Put the flag out because it's like 10 minutes to. Six. People know we're open. And you know what? It's so nice out. I think I'm going to open the front door. Get some fresh air in. Rooster's usually crowing. I don't hear him this morning. Yeah, he's not crowing. Just the birds are out. This morning we have a special going on. It's Nana Gail's Two for Tuesday. You get two pancakes, two sausage, two bacon, or two French toast with potatoes for $2.22. Also coffee you get with it. That's to help our locals come in. And it's not really that much, you know. Some kind of special to draw the customer in. Here comes our first customer. This is Bob Menino. So they get here about 5:02, and they have the coffee. My sister has it all set up for them so they can start their day and have a great day. Try to have it ready for them because they come in every day, so they're loyal. So if that makes them happy to see that their stuff is waiting for them, we're happy. It just takes 2 minutes to make somebody really happy for the day. You know, a lot of locals come here because they feel really comfortable. We take care of them so they kind of feel special. So hopefully the locals will do word of mouth. You know, that's a pretty good advertisement. If people are happy, they'll come back. It's slow season now, so it's more of the local time. So we got to take care of the locals to carry us.
Pick up.
After you make the people happy, then you got to make the money, right? If the people aren't happy, you know you're not going to make money. Even when I worked in a casino in Las Vegas, you know, I worked in a busy restaurant, top of the world, you know, they brought in probably $40,000 a night, but nobody knew who I was or what I made or, you know, I was just another number in that place. Here it's different, you know, people know who I am and know who we are, so it's kind of satisfaction.
Yes, everybody. All family, even the waitress is my wife's sister. And the other waitress that comes in during the day is a very good friend of ours, our best friend that's been around, you know, we know her for 25 years. Now I'll shut the fan off because that makes a lot of noise and it wakes up my grandchildren. Well, we live upstairs. And when we turn that fan on, it makes a lot of noise upstairs. You can hear it. Right next to this wall, which is my granddaughter's bedroom, is just above it. So when we turn it on, it's like, you know, you could feel it rattling. You could hear the thumping. And then, so, you know what? We just, they've gotten used to it.
My granddaughter was born, and we were out in Las Vegas. And my mother-in-law used to come out and visit, and she would call her Nana Gail. I'm Nana, and that was Nana Gale. So she had cancer, and she passed away about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. So when we heard that this place was available, it was really hard to raise the two grandkids out in Las Vegas. So we brought them back here, and we opened this up and named it after her, just because we loved her so much, you know. She always did this kind of work, too, when she was alive. You know, she liked taking care of people, and, you know, she was always friendly. And so this is her place, you know. This is, you know, for her. It's mostly her furniture. And we want people to come in thinking, oh, let me go sit at her house, like I'm sitting at somebody's house. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we try to make it feel homey.
Bye. He didn't stop just now. He went that way. I thought he was meeting you. Dirty dog. He'll probably be there.
Every day. I come in here, have coffee and sometimes a sandwich or something with Babo in the morning. And then I'll stop back for lunch. You know. Pat really puts his heart into what he does here as far as the food that he puts in front of you.
He's lost. He's lost. So what did you do shopping yesterday?
There's a lot of customers say this is the gathering place. They come to gather and chat for a couple of hours. They sit for a while, which is nice. And that's good with us.
Yeah, I don't want to charge it all the way. Charge her. Make it $10. Just make it $10.
And I do give I do give our good customers some breaks sometimes on their food or their meal. You know.
All right, so that was the first track from Nana Gale's, and that was edited by Laura Haddon, my partner on this project. And I'm going to play you two clips back to back. So this will be the time that it takes Pat and Karen to make $2. And one of these pieces is kind of illustrates the degree to which they work together as a team, and which is kind of amazing. It was amazing just to watch them interact. And they didn't even talk that much, but they were just able to move through that kitchen and that restaurant in this really incredible way. They had this flow, I guess, from working together, also being partners. And we tried our best to capture that in sound. So that's the second piece I'm going to play. And the first one, I was fortunate enough to be standing in the kitchen and talking to Pat, and he was telling me, you know, what's a little bit about his experience. And then an order came in, and I was able to follow it right through the order. And then sort of serendipitously, the time that it took him to put together this order pretty closely times out with our equation. So all I did was just edit out my questions, and everything else that you're going to hear is an order, a breakfast order, start to finish, which I thought was pretty amazing. All right, here we go with a little bit more from Nana Gale's.
I've actually been working in the kitchen since I'm 17. And right now, I don't mind telling you, I'm 52 years old. And I've been doing this for what? 25 years? 35 years? Okay. So right now, I have an order. A French toast special and an over medium bacon special. Now this is a two for Tuesday. So French toast, they get two pieces. And I have cinnamon and I have vanilla in there. Put a little bit of oil on the grill. Butter, it's actually butter. Now, I'm going to do the potatoes right here real quick for this order. I bit now, and then I'll... add a little pepper. And a little onion. I'll let this thing cook for a minute. Turn this up for a minute just to get it. You gotta make sure this grill is really, really clean, because the eggs will stick. I do all my eggs on the grill instead of in a pan. Make sure it's clean all the time, because it's got to slide. Everything's got to slide, you know. I'm going to add a little bit more butter. Now I got white toast, pop it down, a little bit of that butter on the grill for the eggs, and over medium with bacon. So, here's the tricky part, eggs. They think eggs is easy to cook. Breakfast is the hardest meal, I think, to cook. And I've been doing it all, because the eggs, if they break one egg, then you're in trouble. Then you gotta do it over again. Alright, see, now we'll get that to slide. Alright, that's pretty good. We're gonna let them cook a little bit. Man, I better turn the fan on. I'll put the small one on. That one is noisy. That's a very low fan. Potatoes are getting nice and brown and crispy. Okay, French toast is ready. As you can see, it's brown with the cinnamon and the vanilla. Taste and flavor, most important thing. If you've got food, it looks good, but it don't taste good, that doesn't help us out much. So, how's my wife doing today? Okay.
I'm doing good.
She's going to serve
it. A little powdered sugar on it.
A little powdered sugar.
And I'm going to be serving it. Does he have anything else?
Yes, two eggs and pieces of toast. And I always got to check to see if it's dry, because I butter them. And then they say dry. And I got to do it over again. Okay. And I'll just cut this. And the eggs should be ready over medium, and that looks pretty good. Over medium on the plate. Two pieces of bacon on the plate. Nice potatoes, O'Brien potatoes on the plate. And yes, two pieces of toast, all for just $2.22.
Smile.
That's what it is, from start to finish. Okay, now I have some potato to start. And what I'll do is I just keep them right here.
Dishes and anything, like I have to get rolls out,
so that they're ready. I didn't do that yet. Just getting ready. There's only a little bit of dishes. Huh? The water gets hot. What do you need, Pat?
Well, if you'd like to run out, grab me a flat of eggs.
Yeah.
One flat, that should be enough.
We went to school together. And then we started dating, and then we both worked at La Grilla. And after that, it was history. Two kids and two grandkids later. We're still together after 35 years. And, yeah, we've been together for a long time, and we know what makes it work, you know. Yeah. This is for homemade chips. We make our own homemade chips here. And then in the morning, I just do the potatoes, and if you need anything else sliced. I'm only going to do two today because I have some left. So today should be a slow, quiet day. But normally I do about six.
Okay, right now I'm going to do my homemade chips. She slices them and then I cook them and season them and put them away. Should be hot enough.
Yeah,
it should be hot enough. Okay. I gotta make sure they're separated. So we only need a little bit of these today because I have some left from yesterday and they last a couple of days. So. This is about two potatoes right here, and it makes all these chips. Let's scoop these guys out of here. And right now I'm putting seasoning on these chips, and I use Lowry's. Seasoned salt. Okay, and shake them up a little bit. And then I'll put them right in my container. And rotation is the key, you know. So what I'll do is flip them so that I have the older ones on the top. You know, rotating the stock is very important. And also working in a place where you have minimum employees, it's a lot easier. It's very easy. In Las Vegas, I worked in a kitchen with 15, 20 employees. And, you know, it's hectic, you know. Nobody's on the same page. And in this kitchen, it's just me and my wife. You know, we do everything. And my son comes down and helps us when the kids get off to school. He'll come in and help us out, you know. So, but me and my wife do everything. We do the prep, the cooking, you know, and she'll help out front when it's kind of slow. I can cook by myself. And when we get busy, she'll jump back here and help me. You know, she knows exactly what she has to do, and I know exactly what I got to do. Like, what was it? I think it was Saturday. I didn't make enough potatoes, so then we all of a sudden started to get busy, and I was out of potatoes. But that's where my wife comes in, and, you know, I'll be back here working, putting out food, and they'll peel some potatoes and cut them up for me real quick, and then I'll just throw them on the grill. So, you know, everybody helps each other. And my wife is kind of a workaholic. She does everything. She takes care of my grandchildren. You know, my son is here with the grandchildren, but She has to take care of them, make sure they get off to school okay, plus take care of the restaurant. And we do everything ourselves, everything, you know, right down to dishwashing. We do all the dishes, we do all the pots, we do all the cooking. So we do it all ourselves. You know, we get along well, we're a good team together. And she also did what I did in Vegas. She worked in the casino for 15 years. She has the experience like nobody else around here. You know, working with your wife, you know. What you have to do is learn to go through the hard times. And it gets very hectic and you start yelling and screaming at each other. And when the day is over, you just forget like it never happened. You know, you go upstairs and go on with your life. But we don't know anything else other than this business, me and my wife. We've been doing it together all our lives. We go upstairs at night, you know, we don't have to reminisce about what happened during the day or, you know, because we're working together. We know exactly what's going on.
All right. So that was just three selections from Nana Gail's restaurant. And I mentioned before that Laura and I had done some research about the largest employers in Greene County, and it would be really interesting to know how many people are employed in very small businesses, like the, you know, small restaurant that Pat and Karen own. And if you were interested in accessing that information, I found the list of the leading employers on a site called greenbusiness.com, and then you can, there's a list of the leading employers and you can go through there. And for example, it's Coxsackie Correctional Facility, Greene Correctional Facility, Greene County, Hunter Mountain, Walmart, Windham Mountain are on the top of the list. And we did interview somebody who works for the number four employer, Hunter Mountain. And we are interested in looking at this list and sort of figuring out, you know, getting stories from some of these other large employers. So once again, if you're listening and you work for one of the larger employers in Greene County, please let us know, reach out to us, and if you're interested in doing an interview. Okay, today we've got basically a bunch of stories and recordings from Greene County, and the next piece we're going to play is definitely not from one of the larger employers. This is the story of a sort of a one-person operation. And this is also the youngest person that we've interviewed. And if you've heard any of the wage working check-ins that we've been doing, one of the first, well, actually the first person that we interviewed was Brian Hunter from Catskill Cycles. And when we were in Catskill Cycles, we noticed that there were skateboards also for sale there, which we thought was unique because he's a bike shop. And we asked about the skateboards, and he said, "Oh yeah, this guy named Ryan makes them right up the road in Greene County. You should call him." So we did call him, and turns out that Ryan is born and raised in Greene County. He's 22 years old, and he's juggling school, and he was inspired to start making his own longboards. And if you don't know about longboarding, these are long skateboards. They're, you know, like 3 feet high, I would say, and they've got these big wheels, and you can just cruise down hills. And so he was inspired to start his own company, which is called Predrift. And this first piece, which is sort of an introduction to Ryan and what he does, was edited by Laura. So I'm going to play that, and then we'll just flow right into another piece that I edited, which is sort of more about Ryan's work philosophy. And he definitely is on the other end of the spectrum from Pat and Karen, who draw that firm line at four when they walk out the door. And Ryan, his skateboarding is his passion, and his work and his life end up very much intertwined, but it seems to be working for him. So please enjoy. And I will be back after you listening to the time it takes Ryan to make $2.
I first started skating when I was younger, doing the shortboard. And then kind of fell out of it real quick. And then my best friend moved out to Denver, Colorado. And he doesn't have a car out there. So I was like, how are we going to get to point A to point B and go have some good fun? He had a bike, and he said, "My roommate's got a longboard. He's like, you should just skate that behind it. And we literally toured all of Denver in less than an hour because he's just, we're calling it mobbing through the streets because he just, the bearings on these wheels go so fast and you just rip down past cars, past bicycles and everything. And so I came back to New York and I was like, yeah, I definitely need one of those. And then I skated one for a couple weeks, snapped it, and I was like, this is going to get costly real quick. And so I started shaping some boards. Try to make this as square as possible. This tape is so awesome. You can paint something and then it won't pull the paint up like within 15 minutes after applying it. So you can actually get some stuff done in a day. I'm only 22, but I'm still going to school, like probably a year left. And I took a year off and I just was like, I really want to start something myself. Right now, completes this style right here would go for about 200. I have some of the fishtail old school pool boards that I go for about 160. Tedious trying to make things look somewhat square. All right, so that's all set up. I want to use a fluorescent color, something that'll pop. Let's see what I have. It has a decent amount in it. The orange would look pretty cool. I think we should do the purple. I'll get a lot of that because I need to shake it a lot. Oh, I love fluorescent colors. They definitely stand out. It's pretty cool. Like an 80s look to it. This is a really cool color, so the contrast should be pretty sweet. I usually let it dry for a decent amount before I pull the tape up. The profit's decent. I mean, you know, get them built for $100 and 200, it's not that bad gig, especially if I get rid of a bunch at the same time. I mean, like I said, this is just like a beautiful or awesome hobby that I have, and the fact that I can make a little bit of money on it is pretty exciting. Doing what I love. It's always exciting to pull the paint up and make sure like it came out like you expected it to. So it's kind of exciting sometimes. Like this, it kind of looks like Joker colors. Pretty cool. So I'm just trying to make a nice straight cut here. Fun part about putting grip tape on is the microscopic cuts you get in your fingers. You don't want that many air bubbles in there. Good now. See a nice little score on the side. Came out nice. Learn to not push and just be gentle with the sharp edge. Do the job and not rush it. That I can actually put my mind to something and actually make it a reality and put some time into a board and be able to skate it, and it's like, wow, I made this, and it's like makes every time I get on the board that much more enjoyable to know that I didn't have to go to a store and buy it and I could actually create something from the ground up. I kind of think it gives me, I don't know, just that if I want to aspire to do anything else, that I definitely can put my mind to it and I don't have to kind of quit. I'm Ryan. Ryan Lane, born in Greene County, New York. What's cool is being a New York company, use New York sugar maple. So everything used to make this comes right out of this state, which I think is important. Obviously, I'm making it right in Coxsackie. So, and to be able to have everything built by hand, I think puts a little bit more, quality to it, or a little bit more, worth a little bit more, I guess, more value to it. Some people respect that. A lot of people respect, like, something that's hand-shaped and stuff like that rather than through process of a machine. You can press the boards with different molds to create, like, concaves to let your feet kind of, like, sit through it so you kind of, like, suck in. And I've had, like, different experiences. A lot of them have failed. I had a scrap from the beginning, and I was putting a lot of time into each board. Usually takes a couple hours to put, like, one together just because I want to make sure everything's legit. I want to make my own footprint and try to do something different. And I thought this was definitely something I could strive for and maybe make something happen. And just going to the different events, the downhill events, you meet a lot of great people. The atmosphere and the culture of skating is awesome. Everybody's willing to just take their shirt off their back for you if you need something at a race or new wheels, bearings, anything you need. And it's like a big family when you're there. So it's really positive attitude. I don't know, it's fun. It's a great thing. Mansion Street, that giant hill, that's my go-to all day. Like, I can bomb that 6 times and just be totally happy for the rest of the day. So it's nice to have that right in my backyard. And everybody always sees it and they ask, like, oh my gosh, this is so much fun. Like, where did you start doing this? And then kind of throw them a quick story and tell them to buy a board. And then at least usually they watch me do a couple bombs and hopefully don't eat the tarmac. I usually leave in one piece, so that's good. But a lot of the younger kids are always stoked to, like, see someone go downhill, go real fast. It's kind of cool that people are starting to see the sport grow, and we're doing the second iHeart downhill in Windham Mountain this June, which is... It's going to be the second downhill race on the East Coast in, like, the last 10 years. There's a slide session, which is an awesome part of the sport, where you have these gloves on with giant pucks, and it's kind of like more like snowboarding and style. You're putting your hands on the pavement, doing 180s and stuff. Definitely crowd pleasers. And then the downhill race itself, people going 55 miles an hour around turns and stuff. Like, pretty crazy. Watch them wipe out and stuff. Everybody's always hooting, hollering. It's good stuff. Front foot's up top, coming into a turn. Top hand is on the pavement. Back foot is on the back of the board, and you're essentially kicking this out to slowly stop. I just love the adventure sports, and so I'm always trying to be outside. That's just the way I've been brought up. So I can't ever see myself moving to the top of this. Always got to stay in the hills, at least. So I'm trying to just do my own thing, and if I succeed, that's excellent. If it's just something that I learn on the road and hopefully opens up another door, that's all I can ask for. I met a lot of great people that are in the industry that hopefully I can make another move in the future. I'm hoping to just make my name known, and hopefully this works, and if it doesn't, then just something I can learn from. I'm just trying to be ambitious and quick. I would love to have a shop that I could go to and literally shape out boards, do art on canvases, and kind of have just like a ultimate outdoor shop, and just be able to hold sessions for people to, like, learn how to skate, or just hold public skate sessions and different events, and just try to push the sport and let everybody know that it's not all about competition, but just to be able to get out and do your own thing. I really don't want to work for anybody else ever again, because being able to put your own hours forward and, like, I hate the idea that everybody has to work, like, a 9-to-5. I think that's stupid. To live for the weekends kind of annoys me. So it's kind of cool that I'm able to put power in whenever I want. It's cool. Sometimes I'd rather just drop everything and go skate. And it's like, you know, obviously I would want to do that because it's a lot more fun. And then sometimes it's like, all right, I just need to, you know, bear down and get a couple of these done. Sometimes I kind of have to have something that's motivating me to do something. Or if I come out with, like, a great, like, art idea, it's like, oh, I really want to apply that. But, and then it's like, all right, I really have to do it. I can't just, like, slack and, like, say I'm going to keep doing it. And then, obviously, it never happens. So, yeah, sometimes I need to kind of kick myself in the butt and be like, let's get another board out. Kind of put time in whenever I can. I would say 3-4 hours a day. Sometimes not all together, because if I paint something and let it sit, go work on some art inside, maybe do something completely different, and then come back to it later on and just fine-tune stuff. So I'm always working on stencils at night, like when I'm going before I go to bed, because it's just like I can be sitting in bed and have like my board in front of me and just kind of like cut stuff out until I pass out.
All right, so that was Ryan Lane. And I just wanted to, in the last couple of minutes of the show, wanted to encourage people who have stories or know people that you think should be featured in the Wage Working Project. You can contact us by email, wageworking@gmail.com. You can also call us and leave us a message at 518-314-9675. That's 518-314-9675, or 518-314-WORK. And you can tell us about your job and your relationship to your work. Also, if you're at work and you want to experiment with doing some field recording, you can also use that phone number as a way to leave us a message with a recording of whatever it is that you do for a job. So just call us up, let us know who you are, what you do, and maybe offer us a little sound of what you're doing. If you're a farmer, maybe it's weeding. If you're a carpenter, maybe it's a hammer. Maybe there's a sound out there associated with your job that, you know, I haven't even thought of. So feel free to call us up and leave us stories, leads for people we should talk to. I'm going to go out there and just say that we're really interested in talking to women, even though Laura and I are both women and tend to, you know, do a lot of interviews with women. We've ended up interviewing a couple more men than women, so we're trying to keep that balance. So please share ideas, or if you're a woman with a story to share, please call us up and let us know. And that is just about going to wrap up the show. We will be back next Saturday with more from our project. So stay tuned and look at wageworking.com, which is our Tumblr. We're constantly updating it with photographs.